Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. So there's a lot going to happen in this segment. Did Luka's calf injury indirectly open the door to the Knicks pursuing Brunson over Donovan Mitchell? But a couple other quick notes for you. Yes, I've seen several people text in. I'm aware that Logan Paul has signed with the WWE, so there's that. But probably a far more pressing importance is multiple reports. It's being backed up. It's starting to go everywhere. Is that USC and UCLA, as we mentioned about 30 minutes or so ago, are planning on joining the Big Ten maybe as early as 2024.
Did Lincoln Riley know this when he took the job at USC?
Oh,
Did that play into his decision at all? That he's like, well, I won't be the SEC, but I'll be going against Ohio State and Michigan.
I mean, if feels like this didn't just come out of nowhere, right? Like, surely these conversations have been happening for some time.
So I'm sure he that must have played into some of that decision then.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
So you're not thinking he was just trying to duck
the best competition? I still think he was trying to duck the best competition because it's not the SEC. The Big Ten's good. It's not the SEC.
Yeah. All right. Interesting.
They could honestly clean up the Pac-12 at this point. So I don't know. They're not totally just hiding out in their competition right now if they're going to, you know, potentially square off against Michigan and Ohio State and everybody else out there in the Big Ten.
What does the future look like for the Pac-12 and the Big 12? Because, I know the Big 12 made their own, additions when Texas and Oklahoma leave, but both of those conferences are getting gutted.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. RIP Ari Temkin's Big 12 radio, I guess. But
I forgot about that. Sorry, Ari. You're still awesome.
Cobble together some Houston or something. I don't know. It's Brian. I know he's talked about this. Like, we're just eventually going to hit a point where it's just like these big super conferences, like just a couple of them, and then that's what college football is going to be.
Do you think four conferences of 16 teams each makes sense, or did you envision the configuration perhaps differently?
4 for 16 is fine. It'll make sense. But I mean, you're still going to have there's going to be really top hit. The SEC is always going to be the SEC. And if the Big Ten is starting this push earlier than others and they're able to cobble together a USC who's really on the up and up. I mean, UCLA, I know they've had some hit or miss seasons, but they still generate a lot of talent with their recruiting and everything like that. So, I mean, if you can get together those teams and they're with a really good conference in the Big Ten, which still has some really good, historical teams, and Ohio State and Michigan, and they're always competitive up there, then it may just be one of these things where even if these other conferences start catching up and you build these ones, it's probably still going to be like the SEC's up here, the Big Ten's just down here, and then you've got the other two back here.
And I've seen a few people texting this in. I'm not sure if it's just because the lines filled up so quickly, but I promise our phone lines are working. So the people who are like, says my call couldn't be completed, we did get caller number 10. We did get our winner, and we will give away Rangers tickets tomorrow in the noon o'clock hour.
That just means y'all were blowing up the phones, is what
you guys
means.
Really were, and I appreciate it. And y'all have been on point with all kinds of feedback today, both in the Twitch and on the fan text and everything. So I do really appreciate that. Now, we're looking back at basketball. Free agency starts at 5 o'clock Central, even though clearly a lot of this writing is already on the wall. And we saw DeJounte Murray yesterday, trade going to the Hawks for Danilo Gallinari. And originally I'd heard 2 first-round picks, or maybe 2 and a swap. And 3 first-round picks. Is you had an intriguing hypothesis that I honestly had not considered whatsoever about the interest in Jalen Brunson.
Which is funny because Quentin Mayo almost went and spoiled it. He kind of teased ahead to it. He didn't even know we were going to talk about it. But you remember he mentioned we were talking about Brunson, And he mentions, like, what happened to Donovan Mitchell? Because that was supposed to be the big, like there was a lot of talk at the end of last year, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell could be heading to New York, and that could be one of these guys that they're going to build around. And we know there's been this talk about this Knicks contingent that came and watched the Utah and Dallas series. And so my question that I was wanting to kick around a little bit was this idea of Lucas calf injury when Brunson had to be the guy and lead that team for the first three games of that series and got him up 2-1. And they won that game in Utah for the first time in forever.
Yeah.
And it was a playoff game. And he outplayed Donovan Mitchell. Did, like, Luka's calf injury essentially open the door for Brunson to outshine Donovan Mitchell and cause them to change their focus?
I mean, I looked at it, and the game, just those first three games, let's say, and then I've got the rest of the stats, is 24, 41, and 31 is what he scored. And then he also had, I think, 5 1/3 assists and then 5 1/3 rebounds. So he had 5.3 assists, 5.3 rebounds, and was scoring 24, 31, and 41. So he had a very impressive stat line. And I was looking across it for the entire series. So check this out. These are the numbers for just that series. Jalen Brunson, 27.8 points per game. Donovan Mitchell, 25.5. Advantage Brunson. Assists per game, Donovan Mitchell had 1.5 more. Rebounds, Brunson had half a rebound more. But then shooting, Brunson 48% to 40% from Mitchell. Three-point shooting, 33% from Brunson compared to 21% for Mitchell. And so there's no question that Jalen Brunson played better than Donovan Mitchell. Like, I'm not here to tell you he's just a flat-out better player than Donovan Mitchell, but in this series, he played better than Donovan Mitchell, and probably most importantly, he's far more gettable and affordable than Donovan Mitchell, because I think they're about the same age. In fact, I think they're almost like exactly the same age. I'm not saying they were born the same day, but they're born like pretty damn close to one another. Is what's the path to getting Donovan Mitchell? Lots and lots of capital from a trading standpoint. What's the path to get to Jalen Brunson? Pay the most money. And so you don't have to give up any of your other capital or assets, because if you're going to go trade for Donovan Mitchell, what was it going to cost you? Quickly, Toppin, maybe Barrett. And if not Barrett, then multiple draft picks. Mm-hmm. And Brunson just cost you money, which I get, a lot of money, as we're hearing, four for $110 million. But if you're like, hey, he could be in the category of Donovan Mitchell, or we just saw him outplay Donovan Mitchell and he's cheaper, let's do that.
Not just that, not we saw him outplay Donovan Mitchell, but it was also this chance for the Knicks to look at it and go, here is Brunson on his own. And so that was our final question, is we see he can play on his own. He can lead a team. He can be the ball dominant guy. We already knew he could play with Luka. We've seen that evidence. And that's intriguing to us, is trying to find somebody that can pair with RJ Barrett. But I also wonder if the juxtaposition for them was not only look at Brunson taking control, but also on the other side, look at the Jazz, like, seemingly mentally falling apart, and Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert can't work through their problems. Here's a guy over here, that Brunson, that we know he can work through any, you know, diva issues or ego issues. Like, this is, and I wonder if it caused them to look at the complete package and say, we're shifting our focus, because there was so much buzz around Donovan Mitchell to New York at that time that it's not just made up. It's not like, well, you were wrong the whole time they were looking at Jalen Brunson. I think there's a reasonable argument to be made that maybe he was a fallback or something else, but I think their perspective may have changed seeing those three games without Luka and saying, he's outplaying Donovan Mitchell. That doesn't mean he's better than Donovan Mitchell, but he's close enough, and we can see him working through issues of ego and being able to defer, but also be the ball dominant guy in a way that Donovan Mitchell can't right now with Rudy Gobert and their issues and you know, trying to play through their drama.
And from the 817, we always try to help people out along the way. What about Bradley Beal? He's becoming a free agent. So if you heard our discussion with Quentin Mayo earlier, the thought has been all along that he only opted out of that so he could sign the long-term deal back with Washington. But let's even say that was not the case. You do not get that money. And that's the thing that stings probably the most. And Callie Kaplan from the Dallas Morning News brought it up earlier with us, is you're going to lose Jalen Brunson for nothing, and you're already over the cap still.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason you're able to sign him is via those bird rights, since he was already on the team. You do not get this money to go spend. It would be, and that's what would make this a completely different conversation. Like, if Jalen Brunson was going to leave and that was going to free up $25 million that you could mess around with, then that's a totally different deal. And I would be like, well, let's see if we can clear some money off the board because Bradley Beal wants to get here. You cannot sign Bradley Beal because you have no salary cap money. The options you have right now are the vet minimum and the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is $6.3 million. And the vet minimum, you can sign as many of those players as you want, and it won't directly impact your salary cap, which is the thought of Goran Dragic. And the taxpayer mid-level exception is where we floated Gary Payton II, or if you think it should be, you know, Bruce Brown, or you think it should be Otto Porter Jr., or I've seen some people shouting out for Patty Mills. Like, whatever your player of choice is there, those are your options now to improve the team short of a trade, and the Mavericks do not have anywhere near the assets necessary to pull off a Bradley Beal trade. So unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a tough spot to where they're not going to be able to get any assets back. We were hearing buzz that they were going to try and work on a sign-and-trade with the Knicks. I think, obviously, it just made sense for the Knicks to be... I mean, the deal the Pistons gave them was...
Stupid Pistons.
And it's just...
We'll take all of your salary.
It's just one of those things where the Knicks are in a position where it's like, we don't have to deal with the Mavericks then if the Pistons are just going to take this. We don't need to swing any sort of a deal for them. So it's a frustrating point to be in that, but it's like we had talked about with Callie Kaplan there. I think the Mavericks probably believe that even at the end of the day, if we find out that later tonight Jalen Brunson is officially heading to the New York Knicks, I think the Mavericks, that'll hurt, but I think they'll still look at it and say, knowing Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be healthy and knowing we now have Christian Wood, we're a better basketball team right now, even with Jalen Brunson departing, than we were the night we lost to the Warriors in Game 5 and the series ended.
Yeah.
I think they feel like they're better.
Yes. No, I think you're right as well. Now, names continue to pour in. Is what about P.J. Tucker? Well, there was a report last night that P.J. Tucker is supposedly going to sign a three- or $30 million deal with the 76ers. So while it does look probable that he is actually going to leave the Heat, I don't think that's going to work. However, the good news is Bruce Brown, some would say a younger PJ Tucker. Now, is he going to want more money and probably not slot right into the taxpayer MLE? Well, I could certainly see that. Or do you think that the Mavericks will be able to get creative and convince somebody to sign on that mid-level taxpayer mid-level exception with the, you know, quote unquote promise of a long-term deal, which is what Kyrie was going to do at one point with the Lakers? You know, that's tough to say you accept when there's another team that's like, or I can just give you this money right now.
Yeah, you're going to have to find somebody that wants to be a Maverick.
Yeah.
Somebody who's intrigued by the idea of, I want to be with Luka Doncic. In order to get really great value for that mid-level exception, in order to get the true benefit of these veteran minimums, because those are the type of deals that always get done, right? Like, you get these super teams put together, and then it's always the rich get richer, because it's like, oh, this guy got waived,
yeah,
and he could still go get $8 million somewhere, but he's signing for the vet minimum to go to Golden
State
or something.
Which is what you just
like
saw with, essentially, that is essentially what you just saw. I used that word twice. With John Wall, he got bought out, and then he was like, I'll go sign with the Clippers for the taxpayer mid-level exception. Well, guess what? That's how much less money he took in his buyout. Yeah. And so he was like, hey, I'll tell you what, you can buy me out, and I'll take a discount of $6.2 million. And they're like, well, we're clearly not going to use you anyway. And he gets that money from the Clippers. So the Clippers are getting him and adding to their team, which is what a lot of people have bumped them up in the betting odds. So you're right about that.
So, I mean, that's what you're going to have to hope. Otherwise, you may get normal value for it. You may have to overpay a little bit with that exception. But if you want to get really good value for it, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to find somebody who it's like, I am intrigued by the idea of playing with Luka, and I can see what Luka does in terms of, you know, facilitating for players and how it's helped, you know, Dodo's career and how Dodo's been able to just, you know, stand out there in the corner, catch those threes and shoot. Like, I mean, that's the type of player that you're going to have to find in order to get really good value there. It remains to be seen what players are drawn to him like that.
And somebody brought up Victor Oladipo. Now, Oladipo is somebody that, like, some people just think have absolutely nothing left. We talked about him years and years ago. I think it was this morning he put something out as, like, some of these people done forgot. I think it was from a song. I'm sorry. I know that's a really vague description. But since they just brought up Victor Oladipo, I remember seeing something about that. It's like, you got to go back and remind him. And so Victor Oladipo clearly believes in himself and believes he's got something left to offer. I am honestly not sure what the Mavs think about those prospects.
I mean, he shot well. He was an efficient 3-point shooter this year. And he had a couple, he was very inconsistent in the playoffs, but he had a couple good playoff games for Miami where, you know, he was able to be relied on and made some big shots for them. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, that's somebody who's been has consistently gone downhill with his efficiency. Up until last year, he was a much more efficient player in Miami, but that may be a one-off. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.